Well, we're back home. We made it back. Back from Chicago. Back from taking my daughter and my son-in-law to Chicago's O'Hare Airport, where they sailed off into the sky en route to Barcelona. And then their final destination will be St. Andrews, Scotland. And, well, it's tough. It's tough to say goodbye. It's tough to see your daughter growing up and you growing old. Well, it was a time with much reflection, and we had a great time sharing the 2 days prior. So grateful. Well, hey, enough of all that stuff. Hey, my name's Hunter. I want to welcome you. This is the Daily Radio Bible, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take time on us. And oh, how we need that. No doubt about that. We, my friend, need to make the most of every opportunity in life, whether it's as a parent or as a follower of Christ, to take these days where we hear from Him. We train our hearts to hear from Him. And oh, how we need to hear from Him. No doubt about that. And today we're going to do that as we look into the book of Jeremiah, chapters 31 and 32, and then we're going to finish our reading in 1 John chapter 4. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in, Jeremiah chapter 31. Hope for restoration. That sounds great. In that day, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. Those who survive the coming destruction will find blessings even in the barren land, for I will give rest to the people of Israel. Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love I have drawn you to myself. I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. You will again be happy and dance merrily with your tambourines. Again you will plant your vineyards on the mountains of Samaria and eat from your own gardens there. The day will come when watchmen will shout from the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord our God. Now this is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Israel. Shout for the greatest of nations. Shout out with praise and joy. Save your people, O Lord, the remnant of Israel. For I will bring them from the north and from the distant corners of the earth. I will not forget the blind and lame, the expectant mothers and the women in labor. A great company will return. Tears of joy will stream down their faces, and I will lead them home with great care. They will walk beside quiet streams and on smooth paths where they will not stumble. For I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my oldest child. Listen to this message from the Lord, you nations of the world. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. The Lord who scattered his people will gather them and watch over them as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Israel from those too strong for them. They will come home and sing songs of joy on heights of Jerusalem. They will be radiant because of the Lord's good gifts, the abundant crops of grain, new wine, and olive oil. And the healthy flocks and herds, their life will be like a watered garden, and all their sorrows will be gone. The young women will dance for joy, and the men, old and young, will join in the celebration. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow for rejoicing. The priest will enjoy abundance, and my people will feast on my good gifts. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord says. A cry is heard in Ramah, deep anguish and bitter weeping. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for her children are gone. But now, this is what the Lord says. Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from the distant land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children will come again to their own land. I have heard Israel saying, you discipline me severely, like a calf that needs training for the yoke. Turn me again to you and restore me, for you alone are the Lord my God. I turned away from God, but then I was sorry. I kicked myself for my stupidity. I was thoroughly ashamed of all I had did in my younger days. Is not Israel still my son, my darling child, says the Lord? I often have to punish him, but I still love him. That's why I long for him, and surely will have mercy on him. Set up road signs, put up guideposts, mark well the path by which you came. Come back again, my virgin Israel. Return to your towns here. How long will you wander, my wayward daughter? For the Lord will cause something new to happen. Israel will embrace her God. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people of Judah and its towns again will say, The Lord bless you, O righteous home, O holy mountain. Townspeople and farmers and shepherds alike will live together in peace and happiness, for I have given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. At this I woke up and looked around. My sleep had been very sweet. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will greatly increase the human population and the number of animals here in Israel and Judah. In the past I deliberately uprooted and tore down this nation. I overthrew it, destroyed it, and brought disaster upon it. But in the future, I will just as deliberately plant it and build it up. I, the Lord, have spoken. The people will no longer quote this proverb. The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. All people will die for their own sins. Those who eat the sour grapes will be the ones whose mouths will pucker. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they teach their relatives, saying, You should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. It is the Lord who provides the sun to light the day, and the moon and the stars to light the night, and who stirs the sea with roaring waves. His name is the Lord of Heaven's armies. And this is what he says. I am as likely to reject my people Israel as I am to abolish the laws of nature. This is what the Lord says. Just as the heavens cannot be measured and the foundations of the earth cannot be explored, so I will not consider casting them away for the evil they have done. I, the Lord, have spoken. The day is coming, says the Lord, when all Jerusalem will be rebuilt for me, from the Tower of Hanal to the corner gate. A measuring line will be stretched out over the hill of Gareb and across Gora, and the entire area, including the graveyard, ash dump in the valley, and all the fields out to the Kidron Valley on the east, as far as the Horse Gate, will be holy to the Lord. The city will never again be captured or destroyed. Jeremiah 32. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. This was also the 18th year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. Jerusalem was then under siege from the Babylonian army, and Jeremiah was imprisoned in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace. King Zedekiah had put him there, asking why he kept giving this prophecy. This is what the Lord says, I am about to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will take it. King Zedekiah will be captured by the Babylonians and taken to meet the king of Babylon face to face. He will take Zedekiah to Babylon, and I will deal with him there, says the Lord. If you fight against the Babylonians, you will never succeed. At that time, the Lord sent me a message. He said, Your cousin Hanamel, son of Shulam, will come and say to you, Buy my field at Anathoth. By law, you have the right to buy it before it is offered to anyone else. Then, just as the Lord said he would, my cousin Hanamel came and visited me in prison. He said, Please buy my field at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. By law, you have the right to buy it before it is offered to anyone else, so buy it for yourself. Then I knew that the message I had heard was from the Lord. So I bought the field at Anathoth, paying Hanamel 17 pieces of silver for it. I signed and sealed the deed of purchase before witnesses. weighed out the silver, and paid him. Then I took the sealed deed and the unsealed copy of the deed, which contained the terms of the condition of the purchase, and I handed them to Baruch, son of Neriah, and grandson of Maaseiah. I did all this in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, the witness, who had signed the deed, and all the men of Judah who were in the courtyard of the guardhouse. Then I said to Baruch, as they all listened, "This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Take both this sealed deed and the unsealed copy, and put them into a pottery jar, and preserve them for a long time. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Someday people will again own property here in this land, and will buy and sell houses and vineyards and fields." Then after I have given the paper to Baruch, I pray to the Lord. "O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show unfailing love to thousands, but you also bring the consequences of one generation's sin upon the next. You are the great and powerful God, the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have all wisdom and do great and mighty miracles. You see the conduct of all people, and you give them what they deserve. You perform miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, things still remembered to this day. And you have continued to do great miracles in Israel and all around the world. You have made your name famous to this day. You brought Israel out of Egypt with mighty signs and wonders, with a strong hand and powerful arm, and with overwhelming terror. You gave the people of Israel this land you had promised their ancestors long before, a land flowing with milk and honey. Our ancestors came and conquered it and lived in it, but they refused to obey you or follow your word. They have not done anything you commanded. That is why you have sent this terrible disaster upon them. See how the siege ramps have been built against the city walls. Through war, famine, and disease, the city will be handed over to the Babylonians, who will conquer it. Everything has happened just as you said. And yet, O sovereign Lord, you have told me to buy the field, paying good money for it, before these witnesses, even though the city will soon be handed over to the Babylonians." Then this message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will hand this city over to the Babylonians and to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and he will capture it. The Babylonians outside the walls will come in and set fire to the city. They will burn down all these houses where the people provoked my anger by burning incense to Baal on the rooftops and by pouring out liquid offerings to the other gods. Israel and Judah have done nothing but wrong since their earliest days. They have infuriated me with all their evil deeds, says the Lord. From the time this city was built until now, it has done nothing but angered me. So I am determined to get rid of it. The sins of Israel and Judah, the sins of the people of Jerusalem, the kings, the officials, the priests, and the prophets have stirred up my anger. My people have turned their backs on me and have refused to return, even though I diligently taught them they would not receive instruction or obey. They have set up their abominable idols right in my own temple, defiling it. They have built pagan shrines to Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and there they sacrificed their sons and daughters to Molech. I have never commanded such a horrible deed. It never even crossed my mind to command such a thing. What an incredible evil, causing Judah to sin so greatly. Now I want to say something more about this city. You have been saying it will fall to the king of Babylon through war, famine, and disease. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will certainly bring my people back again from all the countries where I will scatter them in my fury. I will bring them back to this very city and to let them live in peace and safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one purpose, to worship me forever for their own good and for the good of their descendants. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they will never leave me. I will find joy doing good for them, and will faithfully and wholeheartedly replant them in this land. This is what the Lord says. just as I have brought all these calamities on them, so I will do all the good I have promised them. Fields will again be bought and sold in this land about which you say it has been ravaged by the Babylonians, a desolate land where people and animals have all disappeared. Yes, fields will once again be bought and sold, deeds signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Benjamin, here in Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah, and in the hill country, in the foothills of Judah, and in the Negev too. For some day I will restore prosperity to them. I, the Lord, have spoken. First John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and is indeed already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. These people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Now may the one who has loved us so well give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. A new covenant and a new heart. Jeremiah is given a prophecy from the Lord, a prophecy of a coming day when God is going to do something new. He's going to write a new covenant between himself and his people. That old covenant that Israel was forever failing to live by would finally be successfully lived out. Not by any of its kings or priests or prophets, but it would be lived out by his Son, the one prophet, priest, and king who would fulfill every line of that old covenant. And this perfect life that he lived would qualify him for the death that he would die as the spotless Lamb of God, a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. God's one and only Son came to us out of great love for the world, and he lived such a loving life among us in obedience to his Father, never wavering in his love. He obeyed all the way to the cross, reconciling us to himself by his death. Then he made us alive, saving us by his life, giving us new hearts so that we might live new lives. Jeremiah 31, 31 and 32 says this, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This new covenant will not be like the old one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." It's a new covenant, and we have been given new hearts. And now, because he did all that, because he loved us so much, he has made a way for you and for I, for the exhausted, the broken, the rebellious, exiles of God, to come and be with God once again. In Jeremiah's prophecy, he sees people from all over the world coming back to God, meeting him in Jerusalem. And now these people are given a new contract, a new covenant, and they are given new hearts too. And this new covenant is far, far better than the old one. Yes, this new covenant is written on the hearts of those he's loved, lived, and died for. Verse 16 of 1 John chapter 4 says this, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." Christian, God lives in you. And as you live in God, your love will grow more perfect. And we can begin to live lives free of fear, free of condemnation, free from haunting shame and guilt. Yes, my friend, we can live new because we have a new covenant and a new heart. And we can begin each day with new hope. The prayer of my own heart this day is that I will wake up to the love that made all this available to us. A new covenant, a new heart, new hope. May we know it all this day, today, and every other day. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer that I have for my family, my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's our home base out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a cool thing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. Speaking of stumbling upon this podcast, I noticed in our analytics just today that there's a whole host of you that just recently downloaded the app for the first time. Our numbers of downloads over these last 3 days have pretty much tripled each day in comparison to subsequent days. So I'm real curious. I don't know how this happened, but it's pretty cool, and I would love to know who's to blame for this. How it came about that so many of you downloaded the app this last week or so. So if any of you out there wants to give me a clue about what's going on out there, I would surely appreciate that. Just send me an email and let me know how you showed up here. Hey, speaking of helping other people show up here, man, I would love for you, whether this is your first day at the Daily Radio Bible or this is year number 3, I would love for you to share the app with people in your lives. We made it so simple. All you have to do is click on the link on the app that says share the app, and there's about 5 different ways you can share it with the people in your world. So share the app. Another thing I'll ask you to do is to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast at the iTunes Store and or Google Play. This really helps out. It helps folks find the needle in the haystack. And that haystack continues to grow, doesn't it? Boy, there's just so much that's offered out here in the interwebs. And I like to think that what we're doing here is of value and that it can stand out, that it can be a source of real encouragement and strength for people each day. So your reviewing and rating and subscribing to this podcast really helps others to find what you've found. So if you would do that for us, it would be a huge favor. And last of all, we would love to have you sign up for our email newsletter. We've got one coming up in the month of August. Yes, that's right. We're going to have one in your email mailbox by the end of the month. We are certainly working toward that end. And we'd love to have you get it. So sign up for our email newsletter. Well, that about does it. We've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, in the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. You've got a new contract, my friend. And a new heart. And you are loved. Hallelujah. All righty, my friends. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.